God's plan isn't plan B. It has been eternal, from the foundation of the world, meant to bring everyone together through Christ. This reassures us that we are part of the incredible grand design of God, and our lives have a powerful purpose. Well, welcome back to the 7-Day Reset. We are in day 4, working through Ephesians chapter 3. My name is Pastor Chad, and I'm with my friend Kim Weir as we work through this book. We're using the word RAMP, that's R-A-M-P, and it stands for Read, Apply, Meditate. We start by reading the book and just taking out nuggets from what we read. We then work to apply and ask ourselves, how does this apply to God and how does this apply to my life? And then we take time to meditate, to ask God what he wants us to do with what we just read. And then we go to the Lord in prayer to start working on some of those things. So Kim, welcome back. We're in Ephesians chapter 3. It took me a little bit, and I'm going to admit, through the rest of the study, I really didn't pull out a commentary, but in chapter 3, I pulled out a commentary just at the very beginning because it gets a little confusing if you're in here, but once you figure this little piece out, it makes complete sense. You kind of get the humanity of Paul, that he begins to say something, and then it's kind of like, oh, look, there's a squirrel. And he starts talking about something else, and then he comes back to it. When you're reading Ephesians chapter 3, he starts with these words, when I think of all of this, in the New Living Translation. And then you're going to see in verse 14, he says it again, because he's actually coming back to that thought in verse 14. So you kind of have this aside from verses 2 through 13. And so I love it, number one, because we've been talking about this being a letter that Paul writes. And it very much, you get that human element of, hey, I may be writing, but it's kind of like when you're talking to your friends, you have this side conversation, then you come back to what you're originally talking about. That's what we get in this letter a bit, because Paul starts out in verse 1, when I was thinking of all this, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles. And then he starts into the second thing. But he does tell us some incredible things in that verse. Don't gloss over it very quickly. He reminds us he is really in prison. He's going to tell us that again in chapter 4, but he's in prison for the sake of the gospel. He's not writing this because he's just bored. He's writing this because he thinks this may be his last day, and he's wanting to impart all the wisdom to the church that he can before most likely they're going to execute him. They don't do it right away, but eventually they do.
Yeah. I think these kinds of nuggets from Paul are really important because we, particularly, and I'm sure it's a weakness of human nature, we have a tendency to idolize and make idols out of people. We love celebrities, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll just turn Paul into a celebrity. And we saw that actually happening in the church. I mean,
yeah.
Paul had to step back one time and say, stop making us celebrities. Doesn't matter whether Apollos came or whether Paul comes or whether Peter, whoever gets, stop. It's not about us. It's about Christ Jesus. So they were doing the same thing. They were making a celebrity. And it reminds me of the time when Jesus, James and John, were two of his close apostles, and they were walking with him one day, and they said, hey, we want to sit on the right and the left when you come into your kingdom. And he looks at him and says, can you drink the same cup I'm going to drink from? Yeah. And that's what I kind of get when I am reminded of Paul sharing, I'm a prisoner. I'm in chains. I've been flogged. I've been shipwrecked. He's not chronicling a woe me or even trying to lift himself up by saying, look at me. I'm so great because I'm willing to suffer. But for me, it is a reminder that God is not going to deliver his servants from every trial. And in fact, those who follow Christ may follow him directly into the line of fire. Paul was imprisoned for following Christ. And so here he's talking to people, not just us, but to the Ephesians that are surrounded by a culture that does not appreciate them. In fact, rioted because these Christians and their gospel was costing them money. They may very well find themselves in a position like Paul's. Mm. And so Paul, far from being the high and lifted up apostle, says, I am the lowly servant of Christ who's in prison, who suffers. You know, I think it's a great reminder that you may also find yourself here. I mean, you have to imply that, infer that, but I don't think it's hard to do. He goes on to say, you know, look, I also think in some ways this show was sort of evidence, not to Christ that Christ went, oh, okay, look, it looks like he's worthy. I can give him some mystery. You know, I can help him. I'll let him do the big jobs. No, but for those around Paul, is there like, if you want to know why I'm being entrusted with this, live a faithful life, because that is how God is using his servants, those who are faithful. So that was a long way around to say, you know, I think these kind of little passages that feel like bunny trails and probably are also really helpful, because mm-hmm. it does tell us something about what it looks like to be a faithful servant of Christ and what leadership might entail for us as well as for, you know, Paul. And if we're wise, we reconcile that before it happens.
But then he reminds us why he's there, and he reminds us why he has the authority to write the church and to share the message that he does. And he does mm-hmm. this here in chapter 3. And we talked about in day 3, just the last episode, that Jesus did this incredible thing by bringing these two groups of people together, the Jews and the Gentiles, and making them one. And Paul's reminding him, I have the responsibility now to tell you this, but it's not because I just came up with this idea of unity for unity's sake. He's saying, no, this is God's message. This is what God is doing. And he says in verse 2, assuming, by the way, that you know, God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. He says God has revealed this mystery, and this is God's plan. Take note, he's not taking responsibility himself. He is pointing and giving it the authority it deserves. This is God's gave it to me. God revealed this is God's plan. Well, what is God's plan? He goes on to say that the Jews and the Gentiles share equally in God's inheritance, that the Jews and the Gentiles share the same body now, that the Jews and the Gentiles enjoy the promised blessing. That's important. This is not Paul's plan. This is God's plan. Yeah. And if you lived in that day and age, it would be real easy to dismiss maybe Paul and dismiss the idea that I need to love my Gentile brother because you think it's Paul, this radical, making this up. But he reminds them in this letter, don't react too quickly. It is God's plan.
Yeah. Not two classes of Christians at this point, the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. The mystery wasn't that Gentiles would come to faith. I mean, that Israel was always supposed to be a light to the Gentile world. That was their mission, be a light to the Gentile world so others will come and seek me. So we always knew that God intended to bring all people to himself. But here he says, here's the mystery, that you're all one body, that you all inherit the same promises. It's not one set of promises for them and another set for you. And how is this mystery revealed? In Christ. In Christ. Christ finally comes. The mystery isn't that Gentiles would come. The mystery is that we come through Christ. And how exciting that Paul could say, hey, you don't have to guess anymore. This is how all can come to know him. And I love that, because we do live in a world where people love mysteries. And people fall, Chad, it is easy to fall for secret knowledge, or to go to a church that says we've discovered the mystery that nobody else has or whatever. And I mean, that is so antithetical to what the scripture says, which is that God has revealed everything that we need in this world for godliness through Christ. And that this kind of mystery was simply Christ is the mystery. Christ is the mystery now unveiled. And I love that Paul says, I get to tell you that. Mm-hmm. I love that, because guess what? I get to tell you that too. I can say that to my neighbors. I get to tell you the mystery that you can come into a saving relationship with God through his son, Jesus. Jesus is the answer to the mystery.
It teaches us about time as well. In verse 11, he says, this was his eternal plan. And sometimes when we read the scripture, we could read it linearly and believe that this happened because things with Jesus just didn't work out maybe the way God planned it. No. God planned Jesus to go to the cross from the nativity or from the beginning of creation.
The foundations of the world. Yeah.
Right? That's what it's saying, verse 11, that it has always been God's plan to bring all the people together into this church. This isn't plan B because plan A didn't work. This is plan zero. I have one plan, and there's not an A or a B. It's only one plan, and God is working it out. And it says in verse 11, this was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. If I'm going to jump from read to apply right away and to meditate, man, that sure makes me excited and it makes me hopeful. God has a plan. Before the world was created, God had an eternal plan, and this is being fleshed out right now, and we're living in the midst of God's plan. Yeah. Man, that gives me hope. That gives me hope that I'm not left here wandering in a world that by chance things are going to happen. Our God has a plan, and he does work it out.
We said earlier that it's great if you can notice themes, which is why it's great to read like a whole book. And here I see another theme again. Paul keeps telling us why God does what he does. Ooh. And don't we all want to know that? Why are you doing that, God? That's a big eternal question, right? Well, there's a lot of why answers in here. And verse 10, why did he do this? Why does he reveal the mystery that we all get to come as one body in Christ? Verse 10, his intent was now through the church. Okay, through what's created. And the church is Jews and Gentiles, everyone who comes to Christ. His intent was that now through the church, so church, we have a purpose, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. So not only, as we heard back in the previous chapter, are we to display his glory here on earth, but here, one of his intents is that the church that's established because we come to faith actually proclaims his wisdom to all the rulers and authorities that are in the heavenly realms. So all of the spiritual forces of light and darkness that exist in the heavenly realm, the church, by its very existence, displays the wisdom of God in those realms. There's a purpose for you.
That's power.
Yeah.
That is power. You may think of yourself as insignificant to demons and angels or all the other, those are what he's talking about, the principalities and powers, these other creatures or these other things in the heavenly realms. You're right. The church, by very nature of being united in Christ to Jesus and to one another, proclaims like a giant choir, God's power. You are a declaration of God's power and his plan to everything in this world. That's incredible. And like you said, we continue to see he's weaving together. We talked about in the heavenly places in chapter one, we see it fleshed out a little bit again, a little bit in chapter two. But now again, he brings back that same language and he's going to do this. And you only get that when you're able to read a book of the Bible together. You don't always pick that up if you read one or two verses. It's reading through the scripture, and that's what we encourage. And we know that sometimes we don't always have the time to read an entire book in one setting, but you do have time to hopefully work your way through a book, work your way through chapter one, chapter two. And now like we are in this is why we do these 7-day resets. You're in chapter three, working your way through the book of Ephesians. So congratulations. Yeah. We're halfway through. There's only six chapters, so we're able to get through
Awesome. But now we move into this other part, which I love too. I mean, we could camp all day long thinking about the glory. But also here we have Paul, who is again expressing a prayer for the people that he had shepherded. He gives several things that that he's praying for. He's praying that they'll be strengthened by the Spirit, not just that they'll have strength. Go be strong. Strengthen up. He doesn't say that. He says, which is good. I want to know that. The Spirit that's in me, he's praying that I'll get strengthened in my inner self, that I will have a place for Christ who is in me to find himself more and more at home. And then that I would be able, and this is one of my favorites, especially in light of the fact that they're going to leave their first love. It says that they would know how wide and deep and long and high is the love of Christ for them.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are things that I want. Am I longing to be strengthened inside my spirit? Is that the most valuable thing to me? Am I wanting to make my heart a place where Christ doesn't just live, but he would feel at home? It's pure. It's clean. It's open. It's transparent. Am I making him at home there? And am I camping on his love for me, or am I always worried that he's disappointed, or just how I'm going to work for him? Wow, those are some great things to pray for ourselves.
We live in a day and age in the church where it's almost a dichotomy, and we separate truth and love. And we can become so focused sometimes, and I've done that in my past, where it's like truth, 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 and that's the most important thing. but it has to work in connection with God's love. And we've called this theme out, and I hope you continue to see it, because this reading of Ephesians, this time for me, I've read it many times, but this time the word love has just stood out over and over again. And I think it goes back to, I read Revelation chapter 2, and Jesus tells the church that they left their love of him and their love for one another, and he calls them back to that. But it stood out here that in this prayer for the church, he says that your roots would grow down into God's love. He gives you a metaphor or a picture there of roots that go down. And what do roots do? They dig deep, deep in the ground to get nutrients and water. A tree or a plant, it could be totally dry and parched outside, but it's drawing water from down deep in the soil and nutrients down deep in the soil. Listen, let me just say, sometimes life is horrible. It stinks. The Apostle Paul right here, we've been talking about, is in prison. And life around us could be that desert, that parchedness. But if your roots are ground deep, you're receiving nutrients, knowing the love of God in your life. Like, as I work my way from apply into meditate, that's the thing I want to meditate on. Like, God, your love is so great. Can I glean that even when my life stinks? Even when I'm dealing with the death of a grandparent or a parent or a friend, Lord, can I glean from your love in the midst of the bad diagnosis or the troubled family member or whatever it may be? And then he says that you would have the power to understand God's love too, that God's love never fails in the midst of any of these circumstances. God's love is strong. Mm-hmm. Kim, I come back to, as we look at all these things through Paul's prayer, not only does it give us a model of how to pray, but I believe something that stood out for me in verse 12 was that he says, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So as I look to apply this and say, this says this about God, but what is there for me? I want to ask myself, can I come boldly and confidently into God's presence with prayer? And why? Because we've already been seated, it says, with him in the heavenly places. We have already been invited into his presence. I think of my kids sometimes. In my home, we've never really allowed our kids to take full reign of our bedroom, or just kind of, that was kind of like mom and dad's space. They could have the rest of the house. But if they're invited in, they could come in. And it's the same with God sometimes. Like, we feel like maybe we haven't been invited into his presence or invited into who he is. And here it tells us, no, you've been united with Christ. You are seated with him is what it said in chapter 2, right? And you are with Christ and in Christ. So come boldly to him in prayer, because you are already in his presence.
I love that. I think for me, the one thing that stands out, and it's brought up again in the last verses of chapter 3, where he kind of gives this benediction. It feels like it should be the end of the letter, because he kind of breaks out in this, now how to him who's able to do immeasurably more than anything we ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. He could end it there, but that's the end of the riches that he describes. Now we're about to move into the responsibilities that we have. So I guess in one way it is a benediction, because the letter is going to shift. But again here, what does he say? To the glory of him in the church.
Yeah.
And I just harkens back to that over there, you know, that the purpose is that I would be for his glory, proclaiming it in the heavenly realms, that his manifold wisdom would be known by my participation in the church, as one belonging to Christ, and the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, and then, you know, the glory of the church. So I, to me, that's what stands out, is just, you know, remembering, oh my gosh, you know, I am not the center of the universe. I am one small part of being a poster child for the great manifold wisdom of God by simply being obedient and being part of his body of Christ. And that being part of his body of Christ, growing in that body, participating in that body, little or impact or much. I mean, just the fact that I'm doing what I'm being called to do, that this is this huge declaration in all of the universe, the giant megaphone, that the wisdom of God is unmatched. I'm just hanging on to that as my thought. And, you know, I want to talk to God about that. Lord, you know, show me where even more I could be used to display your wisdom in the heavenly realms. And so it may feel like that maybe that doesn't have a lot of practical application, but I think that's sometimes the problem, is that I'm always looking for the practical, where's my to-do? And he's about to give us some to-dos. These first three chapters are about, this is who you are. This is what you have. This is your position. And because of that, God is receiving glory in all the universe. And just sit in that. I just want to sit in that. So that's my takeaway.
Well, we've been working through chapter 3 on this day 4 of World's Biggest Small Group 7-Day Reset. And let me encourage you, read it for yourself. Don't take our word for it. We're just working through it as mere humans from our lens, but your lens may be different. As you find something, share it in the comments below so others can glean from what God is speaking in your life. And as we continue through tomorrow, we'll be in day 5 working through Ephesians chapter 4. And we find ourselves in a transition tomorrow. So come back to see what God is doing in the book of Ephesians. Thank you and God bless. We hope this has been a transformative journey. Don't miss out on more opportunities like this to rekindle your faith and find inspiration in the World's Biggest Small Group's latest study. Text the word GROW, G-R-O-W, to 67101 to find out more.